Father, words do not suffice for our praise, for your goodness and glory in the incarnation of your well-beloved Son. Nonetheless, words are the medium and vehicle you've given us to express that praise, and we ask you, Lord, now to help us to do that out of hearts filled with your love in obedience to your command. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, this is an interesting evening for technical circumstances. I hope the internet is working at least. There we go. I begin this evening quite aware that this is a very difficult season for Church of the Savior. And I'm also aware that not just this season, but this year has been really tough. Right now, all of us are grieving in some way, and some of us may genuinely be questioning how we can make any sense of celebrating Christmas, simply given the events of the past 10 days. But we're here tonight because we need to be, because God remains worthy of praise for what he has done, and the incarnation of Jesus remains, as it has been for 2,000 years, the point of entry to the greatest story ever told. Our culture has its own narrative about Christmas. The popular portrait of Christmas in American culture says that this season and event is all about things like snow falling over a quiet landscape, preferably rural, transforming it into a winter wonderland. Families gathered together around a decorated tree festive with lights and a cozy fireplace, enjoying a special meal and experiencing perfect harmony with one another. And of course, the purchase and exchange of gifts, many gifts preferably also extravagant. I want to hasten to say there's nothing wrong with any of our customs around celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the greatest event the world has ever seen. God has become human. There's nothing wrong in and of themselves with any of our customs. The problem comes when we allow the customs to take the place of the main event and to morph into a mythology. As defined by C.S. Lewis, a mythology is not necessarily a work of fiction. I think that's kind of what we tend to think of when we think of the word myth, that it's a fictitious story of some kind. But actually, the proper meaning of the word myth is that it's simply any narrative that people guide their lives by. It doesn't necessarily have to be fictional. How many of our friends or neighbors, perhaps family members, possibly even to some degree ourselves, tonight are placing an expectancy on our celebration of Christmas that the celebration is simply not able to deliver on? In the most trivial sense, we could start more humorously with the idea of a white Christmas. I've lived in Pittsburgh over a quarter of a century, and I can count on significantly less than the fingers of one hand the number of times the ground has been snow-covered on December 25th, and usually when it has been, it's been circumstances that I would prefer it wasn't. But I would imagine that probably for most people, the lack of snow does not ruin their experience of Christmas. What about some of the other circumstances, though? What about children in poverty who the culture conditions, from our media to our educational system to sometimes their own family members, to expect gifts that in fact they will not have because they cannot be afforded? What about broken families? Perhaps the most universal failing of the cultural mythology of Christmas is the expectation of a day of family harmony and unity. In a culture where the other 364 days of the year experience all kinds of behaviors that make harmony and unity virtually impossible, from abortion to addiction to political polarization to relationship breakup. And those are some of just the more obvious ones. Even beyond all these impediments to the vision, how many people will observe Christmas this year alone, simply because they have no family to share it with? For us, the past week and a half has been probably the hardest for this community at any time during my tenure as pastor. We've lost two beloved members to a pandemic that shows no sign of abating anytime soon. At the same time, earlier this week, after Dee Joy's death, I spoke on the phone with her daughter, Tammy, assuring her that we'll be praying for her and her family, especially because the loss of a loved one in this season can be so hard to bear. She said to me, "Yes, we are grieving, but we also have hope." Tammy's exactly right. Again, there's nothing wrong with our customs around celebrating Christmas. I would say, personally, the day would be a very dreary one without them. But to make the customs define the day would be like eating the icing without the cake. The real meaning of Christmas goes way beyond tinsel on the tree and singing Christmas carols around a cozy fire. I love this poem by the English Victorian poet Christina Rossetti that describes the real meaning of Christmas. It's been set actually to a hymn with these words. "Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead. Love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus. But wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign." That love not only brought Jesus into the world, itself enough of an abasement for the Son of God, but it drove him to the cross to redeem us for himself so we could truly know him, love him back, and go on and love others with his love. And so that Patty and Dee could spend eternity with him. So that we could have the assurance of knowing that that's really so. Real reality for them. And will one day be so for all of us who trust in him. That is the true mythology of Christmas. The story of Jesus' birth, God become human. Sorry about that, is incredible, except for the fact that unlike the cultural mythology, it's based in sober historical fact. The story of Jesus' birth and human life, his death and resurrection, the gospel, in short, has substance and power for you and for me. It has substance and power even as we grieve. Christmas is about the love of God for you and for me that goes beyond even death and gives us hope so that even in the midst of our grieving, we can still say to one another, "Merry Christmas," and know that what we say is really true and really real. So for the first of many times, I trust these next days, I say to us, Merry Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.